Now, the elusive goal of peace in the Middle East. 2 decades ago, there was a moment of hope. But as Chief Foreign Affairs correspondent Margaret Warner reports, the assassination that shattered that momentum still resonates today.
100,000 people swelled the crowd at a Tel Aviv peace rally 20 years ago tonight as Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin took the microphone to speak.
We know how to make peace and not just sing about peace.
But minutes later, he was fatally gunned down by a 27-year-old Jewish ultranationalist opposed to his peace efforts with the Palestinians. Rabin was nearing the end of a re-election campaign and pressing forward with peace initiatives on several fronts. He had already signed the historic Oslo Accords in Washington in 1993, famously shaking hands with Yasser Arafat, head of the Palestine Liberation Organization, or PLO. For the first time, Israelis and Palestinians agreed to acknowledge each other's right to exist.
We who have fought against you, the Palestinians, we say to you today, in a loud and a clear voice, enough of blood and tears. Enough!
A year later, Rabin signed another historic agreement, this one with King Hussein of Jordan, to normalize relations between the two countries. His actions stirred a fierce backlash from right-wing Israelis and Jewish settlers, who saw them as steps toward forfeiting the occupied territories. The vilification of Rabin came despite his war hero background. 27 years a soldier, he began with an elite Jewish strike force in the 1940s. And after Israel's founding in 1948, he rose through the ranks to become the military's chief of staff. Rabin went on to oversee Israel's victory in the 1967 war, winning control of Jerusalem, the West Bank, and Gaza. As defense minister in 1987, he put down the first Palestinian intifada, instructing his troops to use, quote, force, power, and blows. He was elected prime minister twice, first in 1974 and then again in 1992, campaigning on the possibility of peace.
I believe that within 6 to 9 months, it will be possible to reach an agreement with the Palestinian delegation about the establishment of autonomy.
Shalom.
That vision was praised at his funeral, attended by 80 heads of state, including Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak, President Bill Clinton, and King Hussein of Jordan.
He had courage, he had vision, and he had a commitment to peace. And standing here, I commit before you, before my people in Jordan, before the world, myself to continue to do my utmost to ensure that we leave a similar legacy.
But within 6 months, right-wing party leader Benjamin Netanyahu became prime minister after campaigning on a promise not to hand back captured land to Arabs. He began a second stint as prime minister in 2009. All post-Rabin efforts to forge peace, encouraged by the United States, have foundered. Last weekend, Israelis marked the assassination anniversary with a memorial rally in what is now Rabin Square in Tel Aviv. Thousands attended, including former Israeli President Shimon Peres and former President Clinton.
Next step will be determined by whether you decide that Yitzhak Rabin was right, that you have to share the future with your neighbors, that you have to give their children a chance too, that you have to stand for peace, that the risks for peace are not as severe as the risk of walking away from it.
But with a new wave of Palestinian-Israeli violence underway, it's not clear that anyone will take that risk anytime soon. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Margaret Warner.